This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, how are you?
I'm doing just great today. It's a beautiful sunny day in Philadelphia, and I've had a glorious afternoon on my way to the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Harrisburg, where I'll see traditional conservatives as well as the newer Tea Party people.
Well, let's talk about some of the major developments of the past week. Let's start briefly, John, with the nuclear summit. And we have to say briefly because 99% of it, we don't really know what happened there other than Ukraine agreeing to give up some highly enriched uranium and that South Korea is going to host the next summit in 2 years. What's the aftermath of this thing, if anything?
Well, the aftermath of this thing is to be continued. One has to see what the United States, as well as Russia under Vladimir Putin, which has so far not liked some of the arrangements with this country, eventually does in terms of a final START agreement and the actual reduction of nuclear musketry. My guess is that it's nice to see some of the countries cut back, but let's look what the big powers do. And on that one, as you say, 99% of this we really don't know about.
John, let's talk about another major issue. It actually broke late last week, but after our most recent conversation, and that is the retirement of John Paul Stevens. He had hinted at it repeatedly, even just days before, and we actually talked about that rumor. But now he's leaving, effective end of the term, late June, early July, whenever the final decision comes down for this session. The president says the short list is somewhere between 5 and 10 names, but you already think you know who it's going to be.
Yes, I do. I actually believe it's down to 3 names at this point. Administrations have traditionally sent out more names than they actually interview and vet for the court. At this point, Elena Kagan is the favorite of the punditry. She's the U.S. Solicitor General, former Harvard Law School dean, followed by Diane Wood, judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals in Chicago. Both are notable liberals with long paper trails who would surely spark fights in the Senate, as well as campaign year issues that the administration does not need, certainly not after the health care bill. And that's why my money is on the third candidate, Judge Merrick Garland of the D.C. Court of Appeals. Graduate of Harvard, former Clinton administration official, oversaw the investigation after the Oklahoma City bombings. Yes, a liberal in the Stevens tradition, but someone well-liked both in the Senate by Republicans, such as Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, and in the D.C. social circuit. And remember, he's on the second highest court in the land. 4 of the 9 justices of the Supreme Court previously served on the D.C. Court of Appeals.
John, Republicans obviously won't get their preferred choice on this, but what will they like about Judge Garland?
The fact that he's a gentleman, number one. He appears to be a listener. We are not talking about another Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the justice. On the other hand, we're certainly not talking about another Clarence Thomas or Antonin Scalia. I think the New York Times put it best. He's a Democratic version of Chief Justice John Roberts.
John, let's talk about a couple of other issues now. First of all, a major debate in Great Britain, obviously May 6th parliamentary elections. There's never been a national debate in a parliamentary campaign before?
No, there has never been. There's so much negotiation, so much disagreement on the ground rules that something we have taken for granted in this country for decades, going back to 1960 and the Kennedy-Nixon debates, that France has had since the 1970s and Germany has had for many years, is now for the first time being pioneered on the sceptered island. It'll be particularly interesting because there's 3 major participants, Prime Minister Gordon Brown of the Labour Party, Conservative leader David Cameron, and Nick Clegg, head of the small but possibly influential Liberal Democrats. It's going to be a fascinating 90 minutes. My guess is that Gordon Brown is one of the brightest people on the scene, oversaw the British Treasury longer than anyone, but I don't think he can really make the dour image project. I say it's a technical knockout for young David Cameron.
Really? Okay, so you're definitely predicting a conservative victory come May 6th, although we'll get that official prediction as we get a little bit closer. John, obviously this week was a federal tax deadline, tea parties across the country, including a major one here in Washington. What do you make of the Tea Party movement? How big of an impact will they have on the fall campaign?
Well, I think the Tea Party movement is providing the foot soldiers for the Republican Party this year. I've spent a lot of time talking to people close to the Tea Party movement and actual candidates who dub themselves the Tea Party candidate running for Congress. They have provided the foot soldiers for Scott Brown's victory in Massachusetts, as well as four Republican primaries for the House in Illinois, in each case the more conservative candidate beating establishment types. We're going to see a lot of this. We're certainly going to see it in Pennsylvania with Pat Toomey's race for the Senate, and I think we're going to hear about the Tea Party movement for a while. Forewarned is forearmed. These are not angry white men, but these are people who have families, small businesses, and in many cases are minorities. And I'd say if you don't believe me, tell that to people like Alan West running for Congress in Florida or Vernon Parker running for Congress in Arizona. They're both African-Americans and proud to be identified as Tea Partiers.
John, we've talked in the last couple of weeks about the controversy surrounding the RNC, their questionable spending, lack of satisfaction among many with Chairman Michael Steele. You're reporting this week that that is largely dying down, but how much do the Tea Partiers really like Michael Steele?
Okay, Michael Steele is not really a movement conservative, and some of his comments about the Tea Party make me want to suggest, with respect to Chairman Steele, that he go out and talk to them and listen. I don't know everything about the subjects that I write about, and that's why I like to travel places. That's why I'm in Pennsylvania right now. And I would say that Michael Steele could save himself some criticism and skepticism by good old-fashioned listening and dialogue. He'll be safe in the party position at least through November. Last week, 39 Republican state chairmen weighed in with their endorsement of the embattled national chairman.
Well, John, enjoy the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. We'll talk to you when you get back next week.
Looking forward to give a glowing report on the Keystone State, if nothing else, on the weather. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.